This is your devotion for day 12, prepared by Brother Jack Kuhlman. Today's devotion, entitled Jesus with Skin On, is based on Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, and James 2. If we are the body, is crowded in worship today as she sits in and tries to hide among the faces. The girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. A traveler is far away from home. He sheds his coat and sinks into the back row. The weight of their judgment glances to tells him his chances are better out on the road. If we are the body, why aren't the arms reaching? Why aren't the hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? Jesus paid much too high a price for us to choose who should come, and we are the body of Christ. There is a way. Jesus is a way, is the way. I heard a story some time back, which you probably have heard before. The story is of a young child who wakes up in the dark at night. He's fearful after waking from a bad dream and calls out for his father. When dad gets to his son's side, he attempts to calm the child by telling him that Jesus is always with him, so he's never alone in the dark. The young boy says to his father, "Yes, Daddy, I know that, but sometimes I need a Jesus with skin on." Possibly this story is a fabrication, but there's a powerful truth in the message, and the message and the lyrics above are a song recorded by Casting Crowns. It's the same. To the lost world around us, we are the body of Christ, Jesus with skin on. Today we're going to juxtapose the words of James, the half-brother of Jesus, with those of Paul, the authority of the majority of the books of the New Testament, the author of the majority of the books of the New Testament, in regard to what true saving faith looks like. As we can plainly see in Ephesians 2, Paul writes that we are saved by grace alone, and that we receive the grace unto salvation through believing faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, verse 8. Paul emphatically states that our own efforts, our works, were powerless to save us, and that they had no bearing on our salvation. God knew that if humans participated in their own salvation in any way, that we'd have haughty views of ourselves as having assisted God, verse 9. But Paul follows the same train of thought in the third chapter of Galatians, where he questions how the believers in Galatia had come to saving faith and received the Holy Spirit. He asks them whether they had heard or believed, or if belief was based on their own ability to work for it, Galatians 3:3-5. In the same way, he emphatically states that the righteous shall live by faith, Galatians 3:11. Now compare these words of Paul with those of James 2, where we read James asking if a type of faith with no demonstration of motivation to do good works can actually save a person, verse 14. He writes that he exhibits his faith through the activity of being Christ and those around him who need a touch of Jesus, verse 18, and emphatically states that those who claim to be saved but make no effort to exhibit Christ-like actions have a dead faith that is powerless to save them, verse 17. James writes that merely knowing who Christ is and believing he existed, following orthodox doctrine by itself, is no proof of salvation, verse 19. It appears that these guys are at odds and that they may be a contradiction of the scripture, but contrary to there being a contradiction, what we see are two pillars of true belief teaching to different groups of people from two different points of view. It is as if Paul and James are standing back to back, supporting each other while fighting for the faith and for the truth about true saving faith. You see, Paul was evangelizing Gentiles and starting churches in Gentile areas with non-Jewish people who were being influenced by legalistic Jews to believe that grace through faith was not enough to save them. These Judaizers were telling the Gentile converts that they had to also follow the Jewish law in order to be righteous before God. James, on the other hand, was the pastor of the Church of Jerusalem, which is made up of Jewish converts. Some of these Jewish converts had jettisoned the works righteous of Judaism and instead had embraced the mistaken notion that since righteous works and obedience to God will, God's will, were not required for salvation, that they were necessary in all? Were they necessary at all? They had reduced faith to a mere mental assent to the facts about Christ. Paul was teaching Gentiles and James was teaching Jews. Each group was struggling with the same issue from opposite ends, but Paul really ties the teaching of the two together by writing that God created us to do good works, but only through faith in Jesus were we enabled, Ephesians 2:10. We have been captivated by reading about the life of a tremendous German theologian named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who lived during the buildup of Nazism under Hitler in the 1930s. Bonhoeffer was a proponent of the brilliant balance of the gospel that Martin Luther so persistently expounded in the 16th century. We are saved by faith alone, but not only faith which is alone. That is, we are saved not by anything we do, but by grace. Yet, if we have truly understood and believed the gospel, it will change what we do and how we live. The answer is that true grace is summed up by Bonhoeffer's costly grace. Bonhoeffer's thought was that you believe going to church and hearing that God loves you forgives everyone, so it doesn't matter how you live. You've accepted cheap grace that ignores the cost Christ paid. This is what James is battling. On the other hand, is legalism, or salvation by law and good works. Legalism means that God loves you because you pulled yourself together and are trying to live a good, disciplined life. This is what Paul was battling. Martin Luther nailed it to the door with his 1517 thesis to the Catholic Church. We are saved by grace alone, but not by faith, which is alone. This concludes your devotion for day 12.